Well, good afternoon. To speak right after lunch could be a bit of a challenge. Hopefully I don't put you to sleep, brethren. It's good to be with you. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Bernie. I'm from the Fremont, Michigan Assembly in Michigan. We're happy to be here. This meeting is scheduled to be an address to young people, and I'm happy to see so many young people in this group. And I would like to say to you, young people, at the beginning of our time, we're so grateful for you being here. We love you. We want your good. We want your blessing. We want your spiritual growth. And there are a great many people in here that used to be young that still think they are. And we haven't forgot what it feels like to be in your shoes. So with the Lord's help, we would like to take up a few things for your encouragement, I hope. And as we begin, let's open our hymn books to 173. This is a very encouraging hymn. A lot of good thoughts in here. I was thinking particularly of verse 2, a little while, he'll come again. Let us the precious hours redeem. Our only grief to give him pain, our joy to serve and follow him. Watching and ready may we be, as those that wait their Lord to see. Now I know quite a few different tunes to this hymn, and I'm not from the West Coast, so I think if some local brother could use a hymn that everybody would know, that would be nice.
Thank you.
Well, before we open God's Word together, let's ask for the Lord's help. Our loving God and Father, we ask for Thy help this afternoon as we would open the pages of Thy Word. We pray that Thou wouldst give us food for our souls, help for the pathway, encouragement for the way. Father, we pray for each of the young people that are in this room today. We pray that Thou wouldst bless them, guide them, keep them, give them a purpose of heart to cleave to Thee. Father, we own our dependence on Thee. We pray that Thy Spirit would have liberty and that Thy Word would penetrate and meet the needs. We pray that if anything is said that is not right, it would fall to the ground. We own this in dependence upon Thee. We ask this, Lord Jesus, in Thy precious and worthy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm told often that I don't speak loud enough. So that's why they set me up with this mic. So I like to move around a little bit. I hope that's okay. You, dear young people, the Lord loves you. God is for you in all that He is. The Lord Jesus has perfectly satisfied His Father in going to the cross on your behalf and on my behalf. And has paid all of the penalty and the demands of a holy God against our sins. And I hope, dear young people, that each one of you that I'm speaking to today is a lover of the Lord Jesus and is a follower of Him. And you have the desire in your lives to make decisions to follow Him with a whole heart. And with the Lord's help, what I'd like to do is take up a few things that I've been thinking of in the last month or so as regards to willingly serving and following the Lord. And to set this up, I'd like first to turn to Colossians chapter 1. This is a chapter that is really hard to know where to stop and start. It's kind of like three sentences compose the whole chapter. So I want to read for you, dear young people, what I believe the heart of your brethren here in Aberdeen are, and certainly what the heart of the Lord is, and mine for you as well. Let's begin with verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness giving thanks unto the Father which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, it's not the end of the sentence, but I'm going to stop there. Dear young people, many, many people are in prayer for your good and your blessing. But mostly, the Lord desires that you would be brought into the knowledge of His will, and that you would be able to walk with wisdom and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of the Lord. Now let's turn over for a connected verse. I'm going to read about four passages here, and then we're going to get into some practical examples here. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 5. These are well-known verses to all of us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I'll reread what I have on my heart from this passage. That they should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the lust of the flesh of men, but to the will of God. That he should no longer live the rest of his time in the lust of the flesh of men, but to the will of God. Lastly, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy is a beautiful letter of the Apostle Paul to his beloved spiritual son Timothy. And I believe that these are some of the last words that Paul had for Timothy. I'd like to read from chapter 2. It's not my intent to speak on the great house, but I want to read about the vessels here. Let's just read verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Well, young people, what I would like to speak with you about is being a vessel meet for the master's use. You know, a vessel is something that holds things, right? This is a vessel. It holds water. And here the apostle is saying to his beloved spiritual son Timothy that he would be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, suited for the master's use. Now, dear young people, I know that there are a lot of demands on your time, demands for attention, demands for work, friendships, family. There's all these things that are vying for your attention and time. And I would like to spend, I've got five or six things here that I'd like to speak about. And before we get into this, I want to make this point to you. God is looking for willing vessels. He wants your heart. And he wants you to be willing to live your life for him and not for yourself or for your boss. Now, I'm not speaking against doing a good job at work. I think that whatever your job is, you should be as good at that as you can be. But there are priorities in your life. And the Lord says, you don't live your life the rest of your time for yourself or for the lust, like I want a faster car. I want a bigger house. I want a nicer snowmobile, bigger boat, whatever. The Lord is looking for you to spend the rest of your time for Him, serving, giving, sacrificing, encouraging. We're going to get into each one of these things. And I hope that I can encourage you, dear young people, that this is a path of happiness and fulfillment and joy. And the Lord is no man's debtor. So let's turn first to Luke chapter 10. And I want to say before I read what I'm going to read here, there's one thing that is predominantly, it's paramount really in importance, and that is, dear young people, God is not so much interested in what He's doing through you as what He's doing in you. And if you want to live a life of service for the Lord, worship has to come first. You know, it's, I think about Ezra. It says that he set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and then to teach it. It's a little bit dangerous to say, well, I'm just going to get this intellectual knowledge of the scripture, and then I'm going to just make YouTube videos and podcasts and email chains and speak it and not actually have it in here. It's all up here. You're about 18 inches off. And the Lord goes, I want the heart first. So I would like to read about, firstly, Martha and Mary. This is Luke 10, verse 38. And there's some good lessons to be learned here. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, what was that good part, dear young people? Here was Mary sitting at the feet of the blessed Savior, hearing His words and soaking it in and taking that into her soul. Young people, that's where you got to start. Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, hearing His words, taking it in. Now, there's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing, but she had it out of order. Martha was like, hey, Lord, can't you see how busy I am? Setting the table, cooking the meal, and she's just sitting there. Tell her to get off her seat and let's get to it. And the Lord just says, Martha, Martha, you're missing. That's the good part, and I'm not taking it away from her. Young people, don't try to get the service in front of the sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. In practical terms, spending time in the Word, listening quietly to the Lord speak to you, don't put that aside and get to the busyness of doing something and you're outside of sitting at the Lord's feet. Now, thankfully, Martha learned this lesson, and she learned it nicely. So to see that, we're going to turn over to John 12. I love this chapter. So much in John 12. You know, Mary and Martha's house, there's some things we don't know much about their family. It's referred to in one place as the house of Simon the leper, I believe. It's called in Luke there, Martha's house. So I presume that maybe their dad was gone. Perhaps some leprosy. They knew in that home what sorrow felt like. And if we would read in John 11, we know that the Lord very often resorted to this house. It was a place of refuge for him there in Bethany. He went there lots. And one day the news comes that Lazarus, your friend, is sick. And the Lord waited for some time before he went there. And Lazarus died. And Martha and Mary were so sad about that. This is a bit of a rabbit trail from what I was going to say, but I'll just go down it. You know, the Lord gets close to the town, and Martha goes out there, and she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Almost like, you're late. Where were you? If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Mary goes out, same words, different emphasis. Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Mary had that connection. Anyway, Lazarus was raised from the dead wonderfully. So now let's read the first three verses, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Oh, dear young people, now Martha has learned the lesson. Here she is, she's serving, and she's not complaining about it. And Lazarus is sitting at the table, and Mary gets out that little jar of spikenard. Not sure, maybe you guys all know this. I didn't for a lot of years, so I'm just going to tell you. Spikenard is very costly because it's extracted from a flower that grows high in the Himalaya Mountains. And, you know, today you could just order it on Amazon. They would just have it to you tomorrow probably, right? Not so in Mary's case. You would have to climb the Himalaya Mountains in Tibet or northern India or Nepal somewhere and gather this stuff, refine it down, put it on a camel train that would come across all that distance. Finally, it makes it to the land of Palestine. She saved up all of her money and she had this little box of alabaster box of ointment. Probably cost her lots. And what does she do with it? She breaks it and anoints the Lord in verse 3. She anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Oh, I love that, brethren. Have you done that in your soul? You can, you know. There's been times that I've sat through, lots of times after meeting in Fremont, I'll ask the family on the way home from meeting, what do you think the theme of the meeting was? And there'll be this thought and that thought. And it's a beautiful thing how the Spirit of God can take these thoughts and just anointing our blessed Savior. Is your heart willing to do that? And it costs Mary a lot to do this. Here at this house, we got service, communion, and worship. Lazarus is sitting there at the table as communion. Martha is serving, very valuable. Mary is worshiping again. You know, the disciples are jamming her up too. Oh man, what a waste of money. Can you believe that? He's pouring that stuff on his feet. Why? We could have sold that for a whole year's worth of wages. Of course, it was Judas saying it, right? And he was probably thinking, $50 in the bag and $300 in my pocket. That's probably what he was thinking. But the Lord valued that great sacrifice that Mary had. Brother Steve, at Pella, you mentioned that garment of the Lord that was woven from top to bottom. It had this smell like spikenard. What a beautiful thing. That ointment filled the room. Young people, the Lord wants that response from your soul to His beloved Son. And that has to be the starting point. Well, we got to keep moving for the sake of time, but I feel like that's really pressed on my soul that worship must come first. The Lord must have His proper reverence and due in your life. And you can't fake that. You might be able to fake it to me or one of your fellow young people, but you're not going to fake out the Lord. He knows what reality is in your soul, and He wants you to pour out that ointment and the house be filled with it. Now, let's turn now to Exodus 33. We've already been there once today. And Mr. Clausen, thank you for going there. It was a nice confirmation from the Lord that He would have us go back there again. Now I want to talk to you young people about being willing to be led. Worship has to come first, but now, being willing to be led. Moses is in a situation here where there's pretty major problems, and he's the leader, and he's trying to figure out what to do. I'd like to begin maybe with verse 13. We'll read verse 12 as well. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And here's the Lord's beautiful answer. And He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Oh, dear young people, you want rest in your soul? You want direction from the Lord in your life? I very much appreciate Moses' request here. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. You know, the Lord, if you genuinely go to the Lord with that request in your soul, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, the Lord will answer you. He promised that He would. And I love what He says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And then, as you read, brother, earlier this morning, of being placed there in the cleft of the rock, and the Lord putting His hand there and passing by, and you know, Moses' face was shining when he came down from the mountain. The people are like, "Hey, Moses, we can't even look at you." Well, he hadn't even seen the Lord's face. He just saw His back. You know, young people, the Lord wants to lead you, but you have to be willing to be led. You know, so many verses crowd into my mind I think in John there where it says, if anyone shall know of the doctrine, we should turn to that verse. And I don't have it on the top of my mind. Where is that verse in John? 7:17. John's Gospel 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, dear young people, we can't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I really would like to know the plan. And then after you tell me the plan, I'll ponder it a while and let you know if I'm in or out on it. Doesn't work that way. Now, we want that sometimes, don't we? At least I do. But here it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. And I would encourage you, dear young people, have a heart that says, Lord, whatever it is, I'll do it. Now, I would like to say this also. Every one of us, when we get in their cars, in the dark, you turn the headlights on. LeMoyne, how far do your headlights shine? All the way home? No, they don't. You see a couple hundred yards, maybe, and then it's dark. And you proceed in the light that you got. And as you do, the light shines a bit further. You know, Caleb, you get all the way back to Oakland. Can't remember how many miles you said that is. Well, you got there in the light 200 yards at a time. And that's the way it is in spiritual things too. It's rare that, I don't know if I can think of any place where the Lord gave somebody every step of the pathway for the whole next 25 years. And I'd be corrected afterwards if that's the case. Let's think about the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. Let's just turn over to that in Acts 9. The Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus, doing what he thought was the will of God, and that was to persecute and imprison and kill believers. But it wasn't the will of God, and he was met on that road. Let's read verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and I'll email you a PowerPoint with the next 15 years laid out in bullet point. Is that what it says, young people? It shall be told thee what thou must do. The only thing he got was get up and go to Damascus, and then I'll tell you what's next. That's it. It's kind of like those headlights, young people. Be willing to obey the Lord and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? And then be willing to do that. We don't know what tomorrow is. Next week, next month, next year. Just do what he places before you right now. We also find that in John chapter 2, I always appreciate what the Lord's mother said to the servants at the marriage of Cana. I recall Chuck Hendricks speaking on this one time. Maybe those of you that are older remember this. A young person had asked him about how do you know the Lord's mind for your pathway, and he told him this, verse 5. In the middle of the verse, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's it. So dear young people, I hope that you with a willing heart are willing to be led by the Lord. You know, yesterday morning, we got up from the hotel and we thought we'd never been here before. So we kind of looked around to see what was available to do. And I like history, so I thought, man, there's a fort here. I want to go see it. I like going to forts, especially when they reenact stuff. Well, unfortunately, because it was the 4th of July, they were closed. Anyway, I was thinking about all those people on the Oregon Trail. And really going out, not really knowing where they went. Maybe some Indian guide telling him, well, at the next fork in the river, you're going to veer off to the right, and when you get to the three oak trees, you're going to veer to the left. You know, I work in agriculture. One of the things I really appreciate about technology is that you can actually see it. When I first started in farming, I'd go talk to some farmer. He'd be like, yeah, where's this field at? This, well, you go down there where Grandpa flipped his truck over, and then you go past that a ways, and when you see all the trees, you'll know you're close. Well, sir, I wasn't even alive when Grandpa flipped his truck over, and there's a lot of trees in Michigan. And so you get this ambiguous, I don't really know where I'm going. It's not the way it is in the things of God. The Lord can guide you and direct you. But what I want to say to you, dear young people, is this. Day by day by day by day, just follow what he says, do that. Tomorrow, what he says, do that. Lord, what will you have me to do? The Lord says, get up, go to Damascus. Then I'll give you the next step. And if you don't obey, if the Apostle Paul said, I'd really rather not go there. I think I'm just going to go to some other town I would prefer. Ananias wouldn't have been able to come and see him and give him the next direction. And like Moses said, show me now thy way. And the Lord goes, I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. Okay. Next subject that I hope you young people will be willing to consider is Romans chapter 1 or chapter 12. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Young people, I hope that you're willing to present yourself as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. This is a passage that has been deeply exercising to my own soul for some time. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. That doesn't mean that you're going out with the hope that you're going to get stabbed by Inca Indians someplace like Jim Elliot did, but it could mean that. I guess, Brother Tim, there are dear ones in Africa that have felt the sword or the gun for their faith in the Lord Jesus. Does the Lord honor that, dear young people? He does. What about in your home assembly? What about in your own family, in your workplace? I'm not here as a recruiting agent for the mission field, but I am to say this. Dear young people, if the Lord puts something on your soul and your heart to do it, do it. Present yourself, your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is the story of Samuel's mother lending him to the Lord. Let's read 1 Samuel 1:27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I'd like to say this to you moms and dads. One of your children expresses a desire to do something, big or small, for the Lord. Don't discourage it. Encourage it. Here's Samuel's mother. Had so longingly wished for a son and prayed so earnestly to the Lord, and the Lord answered and heard, and little Samuel was given to her, and then she says, Lord, he's yours. And that was Samuel's lot. As soon as he was weaned, she brings him up to the temple. He's under Eli's supervision, and I love how she's bringing him up a little coat every year. I try to picture, brethren, in my imagination, the anticipation and the excitement that Hannah would have. Like, oh man, it's almost feast time. I got to get this little coat going. And bring it up there and, oh, I hope it fits. How's he doing? Is he thriving? And, you know, she found her little son thriving and doing well and serving the Lord. Dear moms and dads, don't discourage your children and your young people from wanting to serve and follow the Lord. I hope it's okay if I give you this example. I'll say this to you younger kids. I was born with a cleft lip and palate. And it was before the days of ultrasound, so my mom had no idea that her son would be born with a gaping hole in his face. Hope nose and mouth, one big opening. No upper lip. No roof on your mouth. Of course, I didn't have teeth at that time, but spent a lot of hours at the orthodontist. And, you know, kids are hard on each other. You kids don't tease and be hard on each other. Kids used to really get after me. And I was sensitive to that because I knew that I had a flat nose and a crooked teeth. And one day my mom set me aside. She goes, son, I want to read you a verse that the Lord gave me the morning that you were born. It's Isaiah chapter 43. You know, this happened when I was probably 6 or 7. Never forgot how I felt when she read me this verse. Isaiah 43, verse 7, starting halfway through the verse. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Now, my mom didn't set my feet on the path to salvation that day. But you know, brethren, I have often remembered her kindness in saying, the Lord has made you the way he made you for his own purposes and his own glory. And that's an encouragement. I haven't forgotten it. Maybe I hope this is okay too. Some of you that listen to recorded ministry may have heard Eric Smith talking about his decision to go to Bolivia. I think if you look up the message that I'm thinking of is called, Lovest Thou Me? more than these, is given at a Detroit conference. Anyway, he makes this comment. All night one night, he is wrestling with God. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Will you serve me? Yes, Lord. And there was a transaction made between Eric Smith and the Lord that night. And so he got up early in the morning, went to his parents' bedroom, knocked on the door. The first time he had told his dad he wanted to go into mission work, his dad just kicked him out of the house. He had since been saved. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. His mom says, who is it? He says, Eric, I have to tell you something. He said, come in. I want to tell you I'm going to Bolivia. You know what his mother said, young people? If I had 50 sons, I'd say, Lord, take the lot. And he comments that is so encouraging, and it made it easy for him to go. If I had 50 sons, I'd say, Lord, take the lot. Moms and dads, one of your young people wants to do something like that. Now, times are a little different than they were in 1921, but I would say this. The call of God on a young soul is just as real now as it was then. I've went into the Lord for his whole life. I want to encourage you to do that. You young people, the Lord gives you a call to do something. I'm not saying that it's going to be to move to Bolivia, but I am saying the Lord has work for you to do specifically, and he wants your heart. Are you willing to give it to him? All right. Luke 22. Speak a little bit on serving. You know, the Lord Jesus was the perfect servant. Luke 22, verse 27. This is in the upper room. Now, I'm not fully sure, and I'd like to be corrected after this meeting. I don't think Luke is totally chronological, but it's given here in the upper room. There's an argument that breaks out. Who's going to be the greatest? You know, and you can picture Peter and some of these others. Wow, what are you sitting by him? I'm better than you. And there's this argument. Who's going to be the greatest? And the Lord says this. End of the verse. I am among you as he that serveth. That's the example, dear young people, of the Lord Jesus, the perfect servant. You read there in Philippians chapter 2 about being obedient, taking upon him the form of a servant, and going to the cross in obedience. Can we do any less, dear young people? To take that example, the Lord says, I'm here, I am among you as he that serveth. I just want to encourage you, be willing to serve. Be willing to serve kids in your family, in your assembly, in your school, in your workplace, your young people. Be willing to serve. That's the example that the Lord Jesus gave us. Then also in the upper room, let's turn quickly to John chapter 12 again. This is foot washing. John chapter 12. Let's read verses 3 and 4 maybe. Nope, I'm in the wrong chapter. 13. John 13, thank you, brother. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God, and that he went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This is the night before the Lord went to the cross. The agony of soul of what was about to happen was pressing upon his soul. We read that as he went out into the garden, he began to be very heavy and sorrowful. And an angel had to come and sustain him. And what's he doing? Right before they went out, he's washing their feet. What service. Dear young people, learn to wash the feet of each other. Those in your assembly, those at this conference. And don't do it with steel wool either and cold water. Here he has a towel. And he's so gently and lovingly washing their feet and giving them an example. And he said, I've done this to you, now you do it to others. So I just want to encourage you, be a willing servant, dear young people. Let's talk about encouragement. And we're going to run out of time, so I'm just going to mention these things. Barnabas, in the book of Acts, is said to be the son of consolation. I believe that word means exhortation. And another translation that I looked at, it means a son of encouragement. Barnabas was a brother, a young man that took Saul, the apostle Paul, I guess at that point, under his wing. And a lot of the believers that had known of what Saul had been doing before, they were afraid of him. It's like, you keep him away from here. We don't want that guy here. And Barnabas said, no, brethren. This is different now. This is one of God's servants. And he vouched for him. And he was an encourager. And then in another place, I think it's Acts 11, where he goes to Antioch and he sees how they're going along together. Let's quickly read that. This is such a great commendation of Barnabas. Acts 11, this is one of our hearts for you, dear young people, is this. Verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. You, dear young people, encourage your fellow young people to, with purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord. You know, we've had in our reading meetings some discussion about things that are discouraging. And things happen in our lives. You know, dear Elijah he was in a pretty bad spot. And the Lord came beside him and said, here, I brought you something to eat, something to drink. Be like Barnabas. Another one is Dorcas comes to mind in Acts. A young lady who was noted for kindness and doing things to help the older people. And when she died, a lot of the widows that were there when Peter came, they were showing Peter all the coats and garments that she'd made. Be like Dorcas. Her name means gazelle, by the way. And I believe a gazelle is a deer that can jump a lot, really good. Be like Dorcas. Be an encourager. There are things you can do in your assembly, in your family, in your circle of friends to encourage. 3 John is going to mention the well-beloved Gaius. This is a beautiful commendation. You know, a lot of times you go to a funeral of somebody and there's a eulogy given. It's kind of nice if you can say nice things about your brethren before they're dead, not after. And here the Apostle John says this. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers. Young people, There's a need to do things faithfully to the brethren and to strangers, and to go on in the truth. How badly we desire for you to go on in the things that you've been taught and instructed in, and that there would be spiritual growth. I love how the Apostle John could say there to Gaius, I hope you're doing as well physically as you are spiritually. And think about the emphasis on healthcare and fitness. And I think some of you young people were working out last night. Here the apostle could say, that's fine. I think he told Timothy, bodily exercise profits for a little. And it does. But here he could say to Gaius, I hope you're as well spiritually as you are physically. Okay. Last thing, and then we'll close. Dear young people, we want you to be cheerful givers. Think about the lad there with the five loaves and two fishes. You got all these people there, and they're trying to figure out how to feed him. Of course, the Lord knew exactly what to do, but he wanted somebody to give. And says, well, what do you guys have? Well, we got this little lad with five loaves and two fishes. But what's that among so many? I don't think that little boy said, hey, this is my lunch. You leave your paws off. You're not getting any of this. I think he gave it to him. And the Lord could take that and say, yes, I can work with this. And he wanted that giving, that cheerful giving. Maybe one last verse and then we'll close. Another verse that's been on my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian believers. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Oh, dear young people, be willing to spend and be spent for each other and for your brethren. It's so important. God wants that response from your heart that you would follow, serve, and love him. You know, young people, we're very close to being home. And the Lord has promised that. I love thinking about what Joseph said to in Genesis 45. Come near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children. I can't quote it exactly right. Come down, come near unto me. The Lord wants your nearness, your fellowship, your love, your heart. Let's close by singing verse 3 of 46 in the back.
Be thou day of Jack bright and fair.
Blessed God and Father, we pray that thou wouldst take these things from thy word and make them good to our souls. Thank you for loving us. We commit ourselves to thy care, each one in their own situation, their own circumstances, their own station of life, that they would walk day by day with thee. Blessed Lord Jesus, thank you. We love you. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.